Coming up next, I'm going to tell you how to prevent work from home burnout, why Ukraine's president has now become the most popular person on the planet, an I Quit segment, and we're going to celebrate a listener and a viewer who's done great work. It starts right now. All right, folks, we're helping you win at work and win at life. More money, more meaning. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited that you're here. We're going to tell you what to expect. We're going to tell you what you need to be fighting against and fighting for so that you win. All right, here we go. How to prevent burnout when you work from home. Now, this is the dirty little secret. I got to tell you, this was very surprising to me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've heard so much in the news, and we've reported it here on the show, that people love working from home. It's like the new frontier. Like, hey, I'm never going back, baby. I mean, we heard that a lot. And when I saw the data I'm about to share with you, I will tell you, I was surprised, and then I dug into it, and then as I dug into the data, which I'm going to do with you, I was like, okay, this makes total sense. I shouldn't have been surprised. And this is a big deal when we have so many people, a lot of you are working from home. So maybe this is you, maybe this isn't you. Maybe you're not aware of this, but this is the data. Here we go. A new survey from Tiny Pulse surveyed 700 HR professionals about their remote employees. And I got to tell you, this still shocks me. Remote employees are experiencing the highest level of exhaustion and burnout. 85%. This is 24% higher than workers that are in the office. Now, did that surprise you folks when you heard that? It surprised me. And then I dug in. Well, why is this happening? First thing is, they're home all the time, which means they are at work all the time. See, there is no commute. Woohoo! Everybody's like, no commute. No uniform. Love my sweatpants. These are all good things. But there's no break. There's no boundaries. There's no boundaries. There isn't, hey, we're all going to go out to lunch. Hey, where are we going to lunch today? And you move like a flock of geese and you have a little bit of break from the environment of your desk, from the hallways, from the building. You got a break. There's a boundary there. Hey, we're not going to work it. We're going to eat through, work through lunch. We're going to go. We're going to take a break. It's a boundary. And so you got to understand that when you're at home, you're also at work. There is no delineation. More on that in a moment. So all you see when you are working from home, think about it, is everywhere you turn, you see another task. Think about this. Let's say that you are really breaking down a report. You're filling up a spreadsheet. You're doing a lot of heavy analysis or a lot of task-heavy work. And you go, you know what? I'm a little thirsty. I think I'm going to head, for the people who live in the Southeast, I'm going to head to the kitchen and get some sweet tea. On your way to the kitchen to get a sweet tea, you see the hamper out of the corner of your eye. Oh my gosh, that thing is overflowing. One of my kids might be inside of that thing. I better check. And you go over to the hamper and you think, all right, you know what? You know what? Before I get to sweet tea, it's only going to take me about 5 minutes. I'm going to go start a new load. We'll see you go start the new load. But in order to do that, you got to move the load out of the washer into the dryer. You got to pull the stuff out of the dryer, put that in there. And then you go, oh gosh, do I fold this now? This is just one metaphor. The point is that when you're working from home, you are constantly surrounded by problems that need your attention or a task that must be completed. See, when I'm here at the office, I've got enough things I've got to do. Out of sight, out of mind, tends to be a good thing. Because I'm not thinking about my chores at home, my honey-do list, if you will. I'm not thinking about it. That's a good thing. Well, when you're working from home, you got everything that you got to do professionally, and you got the honey-do list, you got the kids and all the things, and you're completely surrounded by it. All right, so you never get a break. There is no mental separation. So how do we avoid staying in the blender? Because this is the metaphor for me. I think it's a blender. Home life, work life is just coming together, and it's just go, 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 all day long. And by the way, we didn't report today on data we've shared in previous shows, which is that work from home people are working longer hours because, again, there is no commute. There's no separation. And so people that are working from home are working longer days. And so you've got longer days that are full of the blended responsibilities. And that'll burn you out quick. So how do you avoid it? Number one, I'm going to give you a couple basic things here. Number one, set boundaries. Clear boundaries. Okay? So I'm either going to work at a local coffee shop, not work in my house, or if I'm going to work in my house, I'm going to work up in the bonus room, and I'm going to take everything I need up there, and I'm going to have some boundaries where I'm not confronted with all these other distractions that are important to me. I've got to set boundaries. I'm not going to deal with the kids' stuff right now. You got to set boundaries. What are those boundaries? What do they need to look like? You have to decide that. I can't tell you specifically what they need to be, but you need to have some clear boundaries. An environmental boundary, behavior boundaries, communication boundaries, those would be some ideas. And then once you set your boundaries, your schedule needs to reflect the boundaries. Okay, so say you set a boundary that I'm not going to let my work completely overlap all of the personal breaks that I would maybe normally take in the office. So let's take one that's very obvious, lunch. If you were in the office, if you would take an hour for lunch, whether you sat on a park bench or you sat out in the parking lot in your car and listened to podcasts, or you went out to eat with everybody else or whatever. You went to the gym and worked out and ate on the way back, you know, whatever it is. Whatever you would normally do, you need to also have a schedule that reflects these boundaries. So you know what? I need to take a break for lunch. I would normally get up and walk for 15 minutes. Before big meetings, boom, set your schedule for that. So if you got a 3 o'clock Zoom call with everybody and their brother, guess what? Walk around the neighborhood for 15 minutes. Stick to a schedule that is in alignment with your boundaries. Boundaries first, schedule to fit the boundaries. Which means I'm not going to do, here's a boundary and here's a schedule. I'm not going to do personal home stuff at all, even for 5-7 minutes, during the day. That's a boundary. So I'm going to do laundry only on Saturdays. All right, coming up next, the third and final one. I believe this is the one thing that'll help you avoid burnout, whether you work from home or you work in the office. And I may surprise you with what it is. That's coming up next. Don't move. Over 280 million people have been affected by data breaches this year alone. The need for cybersecurity is exploding. Cybersecurity jobs will grow 33% in the next decade. To meet this demand, Bethel School of Technology has launched a program in cybersecurity. Bethel School of Tech's online boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training with the highest chances of post-school employment. And they do it at a fraction of the cost in a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We're talking about how to prevent work from home burnout. If you're just joining us, quick review on the data. Tiny Pulse did a survey of 700 HR professionals. And these HR professionals reported that remote employees are experiencing the highest level of burnout. 85% of them are experiencing burnout. That's 24% more than workers that are in the office and them experience burnout. Now, there's a lot of factors going into this. But what we're saying is okay, look, there are three major factors that you need to be thinking of to avoid burnout. When you got to set some clear boundaries. Hey, this is a boundary, and I'm going to honor this boundary during my work time. As a result of that, number two, I'm going to create a schedule and stick to it to honor the boundaries. And the third one that I teased as we went into our first break is I think this one alone will help stave off burnout if you do this every day. Okay, now those other things that I mentioned, you need to do them. But if nothing else, you go, Ken, oh, it's going to take me a while to figure that out. I get it. But if you do this one thing, and this is a boundary, and this is a schedule function, but if you just did this, it'll help push off, keep burnout at bay. You ready? Playtime. There it is, folks. This is the wild wisdom I drop on you people. Sometimes I just suck you right in and I give you something so simple. But now I'm having some fun here. What do I mean by playtime? I mean, what does play look like for you? Is that listening to a song, putting on the really nice headphones, walking around the neighborhood for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and watching birds? I don't care. It's a form of entertainment. Playtime is whatever you make it, but it's play. It's fun. We've got to get back to that inner child. Playtime. Oh, playtime is so good. It gives us a break. It gets us out of the rut, out of the rhythm, and it allows our brain to re-energize. There's so much. By the way, test me on this. Google this. Google the cognitive benefits of playtime and fun and meaningless entertainment. Here's what happens. When we disengage from work and the intentionality of work, and we do something that's just kind of fun and entertaining, our brain resets itself. You can go read about this. It's unbelievable. It's like giving it a plug into an outlet. And as a result, your imagination and creative ideas explode. And so scheduling playtime and something fun that doesn't require any kind of true thinking, it's just kind of, I'm active, I'm doing something fun, will spur ideas. And you may be stuck. And in a 20-minute session of just play, of enjoyment, and I mean, do something that you enjoy. If it's a video game, get after it. Like I said, listen to music, watching a quick 20-minute episode on Netflix, do it. You know, if it's literally going to the gym for 45 minutes, do it. If it's playing pickleball, do it. Have that scheduled in your day. The benefits are wildly positive. It's good for you physically. It's good for you mentally, emotionally, and then professionally. It's going to give you some breakthrough. You've been thinking, soaking on something. So the best thing to do is stop brainstorming. Just go do something mindless, fun. And let the brain do what it's designed to do. Okay, real quick, I because of the chat room, I love the folks that are watching live on YouTube. And I want to call out, I saw a comment here. Barbara Finley. Barbara, thank you for watching and engaging live in the chat room. Barbara says, I'm looking forward to this video. By the way, Barbara, I'm live right now at 12:14 Central Time. She says, I'm looking forward to this. Been working from home approximately 20 years. Financial boost from driving less and gas, of course, and no work wardrobe is nice. But I miss the social aspect of office life. And I think that's another example of if you don't have it, that human to human interaction, that to me is going to be built into your day. Go to lunch with a girlfriend. Go to lunch with your husband. Go to lunch with your kids 2 times a week, 3 times a week, 1 time a week. I don't care. But have a moment in your day. So maybe play for you is just a good ketchup, a good coffee. Maybe get up and go hard for 2.5 hours in at 11 o'clock or 10:30. A quick 30-minute coffee with somebody, and it just will re-energize you. This is the kind of stuff that will help you avoid burnout. So thank you. We'll jump back in the chat room maybe a little bit later. But Barbara, I wanted to reach out to you on that. That's important. You have got to hear that and not trivialize that, but prioritize that. That's really important. All right. So a couple things I want to get to in the news. The biggest story in the world right now is Ukraine. And there's a great leadership lesson from it. And it's fascinating. Let's talk about it in the news. Okay, so this is not a specific headline. This is just all over the headlines. The president of Ukraine is a former, I guess, former comedian, kind of a television host, kind of a late night TV host in Ukraine. And, you know, largely anonymous on the world scene until, of course, Russia decides to invade Ukraine. And here's what I'm seeing on social media, and it's all over social media, all over the news headlines. Zelensky is his name, President Zelensky of Ukraine. It's all of a sudden, everybody loves the guy. Now, there's a picture right here, and I want you to get that because I'm gonna break this down. And not only is that President Zelensky, but he has in that picture with him several members of his executive team, cabinet. These are leading officials. And you can see this is nighttime or very early morning in Ukraine, and they're not all dressed up. This isn't a photo op. That's the dude's smartphone. And so here's what I wanted to share today. There's a massive leadership lesson as to why all of a sudden Zelensky's getting all this love. People are like, this guy's a great leader. Oh, my word. I love this guy. It's all over social media. Everybody's going nuts. Oh, what a great leader. The guy's amazing. Wartime hero. Woo, 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 woo. Okay, now, understand, part of it is he's the president of the underdog, right? So we all love to cheer for the underdog. This is a naked, aggressive move by Putin. And it's awful and it's wrong and all the things. And so part of it is we're cheering for the guy. But the bigger issue, and here's the leadership lesson. You know why all of a sudden he's getting all this love? And I don't know if the guy's a great leader or not. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I don't want to, oh boy, there I did it. I don't know if he's a great leader. He may be stepping up, and I think he is. But let me tell you why everybody loves him right now. Here's what we're seeing out of a leader that we don't see in the office. We're seeing a leader who's unfiltered. He's just, the guy is like, he's in his green t-shirt and his combat boots, and he's hanging out. Look at, there he is. He's literally breaking bread with the soldiers. He's in the bunker. He's unfiltered and he's unprotected. Those were the two things that I saw. Leaders in the corporate world, and many times even in small business, they're very rarely are they. When I say unfiltered, you know, he's out there with his cell phone. He's going, hey, he's appealing to the world's leaders. It's not a photo op. How many times do we see the politician with the shirt and tie on and the sleeves rolled up, and it's a photo op? It's a photo op. This isn't a photo op for this guy. And I think people are going, this is a president? In wartime, and he's out walking through the marsh. He's unfiltered, unprotected. And leaders, those of you who watch the show, who are maybe in middle management, it doesn't matter. You want to be a leader. This is why Zelensky has caught the imagination of so many people, and they're talking about it because they're going, he's among the people. He's not up in the palace behind the podium. He's out there with the people. He's unfiltered. He's unprotected. He's one of us. Leaders. This is what people are crying out for. Great leadership lesson. Coming up, more news and your calls. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We are here to help you win in your work, which is going to help you win in your life. This is about a better life, not a better job. You know what I mean? You know, the better job and better career and better work is going to lead to a better life. And that's what I want. I want you to max your life out. And you can't do that if you don't have a strategy, if there's no purpose and meaning in your work. All right. Let's get to this. There's been a lot of buzz lately about Phil from ZipRecruiter. I've been telling you about Phil. A lot of thank you Phils everywhere. Liliana G, she said, I'm so thankful for Phil at ZipRecruiter. He made my whole job search easier and helped me land a job. That Phil sounds like somebody you should have in your corner, and you can get Phil in your corner by going to ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. It is a free service to you folks. I don't know why in the world you wouldn't do it. Takes just minutes, and it's very effective. Okay, I said I had some news for you, and this is not of the headline sort. This is of the audience sort. I love when you folks send me updates, whether it's ask@kencoleman.com is the email address. You could certainly reach out to me, direct message me on Instagram @KenColeman, Twitter @KenColeman, Facebook Ken Coleman Show. This is good old fashioned mail here. This is awesome. And so I got this letter. I'm only going to read a portion of it. This is from Kelly McIntyre, one of our listeners and viewers. She said, Dear Ken, if you ever wonder if you're really making a difference in the lives of your listeners, let me assure you that you are. I've been binging your show since the beginning of the pandemic, and I put the lessons you share into play. I've always known my passion is cultural travel, and one of my talents is writing. But I couldn't put my finger on my true mission, and you helped me uncover it. My mission is to challenge families to embrace the world beyond their bubbles through travel. Once I got clear on that, I had no option but to write a book. 2 years ago, listen to this, I had never written anything longer than a grad school research paper and nothing more interesting than posts for my travel blog. But I got qualified, not through expensive creative writing degree, but from YouTube. Learned how to write through YouTube. Once my book was written and edited, I used the proximity principle to get blurbs from people I know, a New York Times bestselling author, a middle and high school teacher, and my book releases next month, and it has already hit number one new release in teen travel and 5 other categories on Amazon. Now, look, this is great. I want to show this to you. Nathan, if we can zoom in on this. This is the book and the Passport Project, and it's actually written, there it is, it's actually written through the lens of her parenting her middle school daughters into traveling around the world and what they've learned. So it's really, really cool. And so I'm not trying to sell her book. I'm just simply saying this is 2 years ago and here's the finished product. And it's actually doing darn, you know how hard it is to sell books? It's hard to sell books. And I'm really proud of you, Kelly. And I'm very grateful that you sent the book in and you were inspiring a lot of people. And I hope many of you got inspired by Kelly. If Kelly can do it, you can do it. May not be a book, maybe a business. So really, really love that, Kelly. Thank you very much. That is so awesome. Okay, let's get to the phones. Nathaniel is joining us in Watertown, Wisconsin. Nathaniel, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are we doing?
I'm living the dream, Nathaniel. What are you doing?
Right now, I'm talking to you and enjoying 43 togethers in Wisconsin.
Oh, there you go. That's a heat blast for you all, isn't it?
Yeah, we're seeing the snow gone, so that's always nice.
Good. How can I help?
So I have a question. I have basically two different, completely different options as far as like want to pursue. One being, I really enjoyed mowing / lawn maintenance when I was younger, all the way up through, like 17, 18. And recently I've gotten a real desire to actually help people, with their finances and how to, work with money. I've always been a saver. I've invested a little bit. I've tried to, you know, I'm saving up for a house and stuff, but I'm trying to figure out what's like that next step. And like, right now I'm just working a full-time job as a brake bus operator, but I know this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. And so I'm just kind of trying to figure out what my passion is.
I think you know it. I think you're interested in two things. Is that true or false?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think it's possible to be passionate about two or three or four different types of work?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right. So how would you define your words? And you've already kind of let us know, but I want you to simplify it. I'm passionate about doing this, and I'm passionate about doing this. I want you to fill in those blanks. Go.
I'm passionate about helping people, and I'm passionate about serving people.
Okay, but be more specific. You already told us. One is finances. So what are the two areas?
Finances, and then, yeah.
And what's the other area?
And lawn maintenance.
There you go. Both are helping people.
Yeah.
Okay. Which one do you enjoy most? If you had to rank them.
That's tough.
I know. Give it a shot. Oh, man. Give it a shot. I don't care if it's 50-50. I just want you to be really honest with yourself. That's what we're doing right now. There's no right or wrong
answer.
Probably
finances.
All right. So tell me, just for fun, you don't have to commit to this answer. It's not locking you in. But right now, knowing what you know about the financial world, and if you knew you could be wildly successful, no possible way that you would fail, what type of work in the finance area would you do? Be specific. I don't care about title. What would you do?
Just advising people.
So retirement and investment planning.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That and yeah.
Or is there another angle?
That and then just helping people if they're not doing well, if they're not using their money wisely per se, and they want we got all this debt, to figure out whatnot. Okay.
So that's a financial coach. That's a financial coach. So you've got, so here's the good news.
Yeah.
You just gave me two potential options in the area of finance.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me what the dream would look like if I told you today, and I'm not telling you this, but if I said the finance thing isn't an option, but lawn care is, there's no limit. Dream for me. What would be a dream gig in lawn care, lawn maintenance?
I mean, just have my own lawn care business.
Yeah, come on, man. Well, I don't know why you're giggling like
eventually.
That's a silly answer. All right, but it's doable, isn't it?
Yeah.
You better believe it.
2 years down the road, a little more experience.
Okay, so what you need to do is you need to spend time on the phone or in person with a financial coach who's successful, not somebody who's struggling to get it off the ground. Somebody who's a successful financial coach. It may not be their full-time gig, but it is enough of a side gig where you go, they're making pretty good money and they're on their way to maybe being full-time. And I want you to spend time with one of the Ramsey Solutions SmartVestor pros. Even if it's a phone call or your parents can hook you up with a meeting, I want you to get in and say, if I came in and interviewed you for 15 minutes because I think I want to be you one day, get in front of somebody who's winning in both of those areas, okay? The investment and financial planning strategist, and then the financial coach. And in doing so, I think you're going to get a pretty clear view of what the future could look like, and I think your heart's going to tell you which one you're most interested in.
Yeah.
All right, now. Yeah. You already know the lawn care maintenance, but it wouldn't be a bad idea for you to sit down with somebody who's got a very successful lawn care maintenance business so you understand what all's involved. What's that going to take? What's the right way to do it without going into debt? How would I cash flow launching this business down the line? I want you to do that as well. Now, when you do that, you have all that information on both options, the financial side and then lawn care maintenance. I want you to then consider, could I do both?
Yeah.
Would it be possible?
The
answer is yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, man, you could definitely do both. I mean, if you're lawn care, you delegate other people, and then do more coaching, but still have that business. So
that's right. Now, I don't think it's going to be as easy to run a lawn care business and be a full-time financial advisor, but that's different. But from a coaching standpoint, that could be something you do on the side. And then as maybe the coaching business grows, you could sell the lawn care business or just hire somebody to run it and you do your true love. That's the direction I want you to go. Do that and the clarity is going to come to you. All right, folks, welcome back. Coming up a little bit later in our bonus segment for our viewing audience, we've got a hashtag I quit segment that's going to be fun. Real quick, I want to shout out some folks that are watching live on YouTube. If you're tuning in right now at 1:30 Eastern time, that's when we're live. Minnie C. Riley said, hey. That's how I interpret it. So I'm going to go, hey. Victor Betton. What up, Ken? What's up, Victor? How we doing? Let's see here. A couple other people want to say hi to. Love Lady said, I work from home and I go to a different coffee shop daily, if not weekly, to prevent burnout and isolation. Good for you, Love Lady. Great suggestion, by the way. Frederia B says, great working from home tips. I would love to be able to work from home. Well, see if you can do it. Let's see. What else here? There was another one I wanted to get to. Alexander says, I worked from home last year and I couldn't take the isolation anymore. Social interaction is everything. Good for you, Alexander. You got to know yourself. I'm not good being alone at all. Like, if my wife and kids go out of town, poor Alex, you know, is like, he's like done with dinner and he walks by his front door and he does a double take and I'm just sitting out on the front porch waiting for him to notice me like a lost puppy. I've actually never done that, but that is kind of a funny image. Could you imagine? Honey, I don't know. Ken's sitting out on the front porch. Let me go figure out what's going on. This is interesting. Phoenix 86 says, my mindless fun is cleaning the house. Yikes. Hey, can I just say, if that's fun and you get a little juice, knocking the cobwebs out or running the vacuum, again, it works. Phoenix 86, by the way, is watching from Hawaii. Aloha. Yeah. Grant Lowry's watching live. Good to see you, Grant. Phoenix. Oh, I was just talking about Phoenix. I see. I'm so nervous to call in. Why are you so nervous? Look at how fun and winsome and charming I am. What are you worried about? Chris says, I'm there with the last caller, but I'm having a hard time finding clients for my financial coaching. Okay. Quick follow-up on this. Hey, Chris, you're having a hard time finding people to coach because you're not looking in the right places. Where are people that are struggling with their finances? Go there. How about starting a Financial Peace University class? That's how you find potential clients. Walk them through our program if they need some hand-holding, because that's what a coach does. Then you go to the next level. Kalidum says, do you take live calls? Yes, 844-747-2577. Amanda is standing by. Try it. All right, Megan is up next in Knoxville, Tennessee. Megan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm living the dream, Megan. What's going on?
Well, I have a loved one who had worked in the health field for 27 plus years with the same company, never absent, you know, always working. Would help out with others. Everybody loved this person. And all of a sudden they were terminated, along with some others that were, I guess, upper in age. This person's in their late 50s. And now this person who had this love for this job, and a passion for the field, their confidence has been taking a hit.
Sure.
And when they, And really, the reasonings that were given to them, there were no warnings, nothing. They didn't even know there was anything wrong. So now they're at the point of not sure of having any confidence. And then when filling out applications, you know, it says, have you been fired? And some of the places that they have applied for has very big background checks, clearances, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they don't want to lie, but they're afraid that it's almost a waste of time because
not true.
They're just going to see that and automatically knock them out the door.
Okay, so a couple things. They don't have any choice. You can't leave off 27 years of work history. I would say that they were laid off, not fired, because it sounds like to me it was a layoff. It was a multiple companies are cutting back all the time. That's nothing to be ashamed of. They weren't fired for wrongdoing, true or false.
According to how they were let go, it was a termination.
Right. So that's what I would call it. Number one, I was laid off with a large group of people, and I don't know if there was ageism, but we were all in our upper 50s. I'd kind of just own that. Nothing to be ashamed of. Hang on the line. I'm going to give you a copy of my book. Give you two books, From Paycheck to Purpose and The Proximity Principle. Give them to your family member. Read them and do it. You don't even need the resume if you do it the right way. This is The Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. Don't forget, we have a bonus segment for our viewing audience. It's called Hashtag I Quit. I'm told there's some fun stuff in there today, so we'll get to that in our next segment. So the phone number to jump in is 844-747-2577. Let me point this out about phone calls. We for years and years and years have just been taking calls and answering questions, coaching and counseling. I'll tell you what Alex and I have been talking about. If you just want to call in and make a comment on something in the show that we talked about earlier, you want to weigh in on something, call in. You can make a comment. If you go, hey, Ken, I'm just struggling with this emotion. Help me with this. If you're in a really toxic workplace or you've had a recent nightmare that you've recovered from, call in. We want to hear the story. We'll change your name and location if we need to. Aaron is up next in Birmingham, Alabama. Aaron, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Living the dream. What's up?
Well, I'm calling in today because I am kind of torn 50-50 between staying in the military and finishing out to my retirement or pursuing a career in the IT field.
Ooh, I like this. This is really fun. I'm going to make a suggestion that you're not as torn as you think you are.
Let me
take another guess. My guess is your head's telling you one thing and your heart's telling you another.
Yes, and actually, these last couple of weeks, it's been kind of a roller coaster on which way I want to go. I wrote out something, if you don't mind me reading it, to kind of give you a little bit more perspective. Okay, cool.
Let me say this, though. Right. As long as it addresses what I just asked, because that's the issue.
It does.
All right, go for it.
So, well, just to preface what you just said, the last 6 to 7 months is when I've really been trying to make a decision on what I want to do. Depending on the week has leaned me one way or another. And
gosh, it's got to be exhausting. I'm exhausted hearing about it.
It really is. Oh, I apologize. But here, let me read this real quick. So I'm trying to decide if I want to finish my military career, pursue a career in the IT field. I have 1 year left on my current contract, which will put me at 16 years time in service. I am considering pursuing a military-sponsored internship with an IT company and have been working towards a related IT cert. I am halfway through my degree in cybersecurity, but I'm feeling a little bit burnt out in the military, more specifically the leadership style, atmosphere, and overall mentality of the career field that I'm in. And to another thing onto that, I do like the military. I enjoy being in the military. It's more my career field that I have a problem with. But let me move on. However, I feel I could finish out the last 5 years of my retirement right now, because right now I am at 15 years. I am currently in a job position that I very much enjoy, and the leadership at the base that I'm at is fantastic. I've been here for 7 years. It's great here. But I'm also uncertain on the time that I still have in this current position and at this base. And on top of all that, if I'm hired on at the internship, it would be a considerable pay increase from where I'm at now too. And so I'm just unsure which path to take, because right now I just put on a rank, but so that makes me ineligible to promote for another 2 years. And then after that, I could make another rank. It's difficult to make this next rank the first time. And so, I mean, that's kind of something to weigh. So really I'm like, as far as on the salary side of it, I'm locked in on that. Now let's get to the
But here's the deal. Here's what we know you're absolutely certain about is a future in technology. That we know, sir. Right?
Yes.
Because on one hand, we got get out and go to the private sector and get in cybersecurity there. Yes, and then on the other hand, we've got apply, and I'm guessing you feel like your chances are pretty high that you would get the internship, the paid internship in the military, which would be a bump as well.
So that's what, in the last couple of weeks, that's what's kind of taken the turn, because talking to my contact for the company that I am going to apply for, it was, for a while there, it was kind of sounding like, this might not work out. And then 2 weeks ago, me and him had a sit down again, and he was telling me that his company currently is in a crunch for hiring and stuff. And he had initially told me that they get about, 300 or 400 applicants a year for their internship. This internship that I'd be going to is a free one, because that's one of the conditions per the military, because I'll still be currently or technically in the military. I will just be doing an internship somewhere else. So, but anyways, yeah. So, and then he told me, you know, his company's in a crunch. So that would be, that's looking great for me for getting in. And then yesterday he texted me and said, hey, get your resume ready. He's like, I've got my contact.
Okay. So here's my question. Is this in the military or is this outside?
No, it's outside the military.
Okay.
It's a civilian company. Everything like that. It's just that it's a transition program that the military has to help us transition from the military to a civilian job.
So okay, so we're really not talking about staying in the military at all. We're talking about this transition program versus you just getting out altogether. And then,
no, sir. That would be if I do this internship. For the last six. Well, this internship's 3 months. So it'd be the last 3 months of my current enlistment. And so in 9 months is when I would start it, in 9 months.
Yeah, but you would be out of the military or still in the military?
Still in the military. Once that internship's over, my contract will expire, will finish, and then I'm not allowed to re-enlist into active duty. Now, I can join the Guard or the Reserves.
I know, but hold on. Brother, listen, this is where I'm so confused. And I was really trying to let you read your letter, but this is simple. You want to go into technology. So I'm confused right now about the internship path, but that's one path. It doesn't matter. Let's stop
getting
into the details because I'm confused. What I'm not confused about is you have two paths. One, the military internship into technology. That's one path, right?
Right. Well, it's not with the military. It's just,
I know. But my point is that's one option before you is the pathway is through this internship transition program.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, then. That's where I'm confused. Now I'm not.
Okay.
The other pathway is you get out altogether and you go look for something out there in cybersecurity. That's the other path, correct?
That's not something I would be, that I would want. But, that, I mean, technically, yes, that is a path. That's not
okay,
that's
brother,
something I want
to
do.
Well, but, brother, I'm trying to help you. And we're back to the same. I'm still confused because you're not being clear. And the best I can say is you want to go into cybersecurity. And it doesn't seem like to me you should stay in the military. It seems like to me we've got the internship opportunity or something else. But re-enlisting is not something you want to do. That's what I'm hearing. I don't think you're as torn as you think you are. Back to what I initially thought. I think you've got a little bit of, am I being stupid by letting go of my retirement and blah, 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 blah. And the answer to that is no, because cybersecurity is a rocket ship, not an escalator, a rocket ship for you financially, professionally. So
I agree with that.
Okay, then. So to me, the best way for you to do that is the choice. And I know you don't want to do it outside of the military transition program. Great. But re-enlisting? No. I wouldn't do it. I'd go all in on cybersecurity because you A, want to do it, and B, you're set up to do it, and you're not in any way being financially careless by getting out of the military now. Am I addressing that fear?
You are. Talking with my wife about this, you know, she's all in on it. She was hesitant at first because, you know, the military is such a, being in it, it's safe, right? Like, you know what you're getting. You know when you're going to be deploying. You know you're getting paid.
Now, cybersecurity as a private worker, cybersecurity is way more secure for you than being in the military. Military, you're limited. Your growth is only going to be so far. There's no limits to your growth financially and professionally.
Yeah, I'm basically locked in, yeah.
You are. But here's the deal. As a member of our service, by the way, thank you for your service. You're a great American.
Thanks, sir.
Now set up, because of all your background and training, to be a great leader within cybersecurity. So the answer is go. You're not being financially risky. You're not being careless. You're not forfeiting money. You're actually going to make way more money, be much more happy. This is it, folks. Why I do what I do. More income, more impact. Go. Love the call. Love what you do. All right. For our listening audience, we got to get out of here. Appreciate you so very much. For our viewing audience, hang on. We got a fun hashtag I quit segment coming right up. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.